Of course, it's Appraise This. Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom have been joining us forever here on the radio. You can find them at Treasure Quest Appraisal Group on the web, tqag.com, or right here on Robin Hood Radio. And I know we have Tim Luke here. I'm not sure about Greg. Morning, Tim.
Good morning.
So where's the Silver Chef?
Well, we had last night a major... Actually, the last 3 days, we've had all kinds of buckets of rain, and it was almost like a tropical depression came through. But yesterday, it was almost as if it were the a hurricane level. We didn't have the winds, but we just had all of this rain, and it was constant throughout the whole day, and sheets of it, and trying to get the dogs out in rain. I don't know if anyone.
No. They don't like it.
And Sienna, being so young, we've never had it this bad. I actually brought out an umbrella, and she was looking at me. She was scared of the umbrella. She was afraid of the umbrella. She was like, "What the heck is this?" So, around 11 o'clock last night, the power went out. So we had it, and it wasn't just the power. Okay, out. It snapped out. Came back, snapped again, and made a big noise throughout the house, and then it was out. So I think that Greg is having some difficulty trying to connect his electronics.
Okay.
Electronics don't go well.
No. Especially if they were left on.
Well, and he had just done a podcast, and we had he invited a wine distributor to our house from one of the wine shops here in Hope Sound, and he and his girlfriend were here, and we had dinner, and they were just leaving. It was like 10:30, 10:45. So they were just leaving. We were cleaning up, so of course he didn't get a chance to shut anything down. And I think that's what's going on, is that he's having some difficulty with connecting to the electronic side of things. He's trying to figure out what's going on.
And you know, when that happens, when you have a chain of a bunch of pieces of equipment, you have to start at – the first thing you start at is at your computer modem. And then if your internet modem is okay, you reset that. If that doesn't work, if you have a router that's separate, you reset that. And then you go to each piece of equipment and try to reset that. It can be hair raising.
Yes. So that's, I think, what he's in the process of doing. But right. Speaking of equipment, there is an auction that's coming up this week that I came across that I found fascinating, especially since the president is going and vice president are going to be down here in Florida at the Space Coast, because hopefully, weather permitting, Elon Musk's new SpaceX is going to be taking two astronauts into space to the space station. And it's going to be the first time that this has happened in several years since NASA abandoned the whole program. But in that area, in the Space Coast, there was a gentleman who worked at NASA and then retired. And he started collecting all of the NASA equipment. So whenever they would upgrade and throw things out, he knew the people, and he amassed this huge collection of video screens and all of the different, whether it was computers or the mechanics of putting the space program together. And he had this big warehouse full of basically space junk is what they're calling it. And he held on to this. And he unfortunately passed away just a couple of years ago. And he wanted to build a museum and really tell the story about the history of the space program and of NASA. And unfortunately, he did pass away. So the auction company is putting together, I think they said this is the first of four big auctions, and I think there's over 1,000 lots it will be in each of these auctions. And I was perusing through, and it really is, it's all kinds of just pieces, parts of space equipment from that time period that was at NASA that they just disposed of. And it's up for bid. And it was, I guess, just sitting in a warehouse rusting. And they decided, the estate decided, you know, the best thing to do is to sell this stuff and put it out there, because I'm sure that there are a number of space enthusiasts that, you know, that would love this, because there's a lot of the NASA logos on things, the space logos, some of the space programs. So interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on that and see what that goes for.
I think it's going to be very popular. I tell you, I love you had to grow up at a certain age.
Yes.
I think anybody in between, like, I'll say 45 and 65, there are a lot of people that would
Definitely.
Love to get a piece of of something like that, because I think it'll be a more reasonable kind of auction for the everyday person. But I know somebody
Correct.
Who not only collects memorabilia like that, but when he was younger, he got mm-hmm. all these signatures from all these astronauts that went up, and he met them. And
oh, that's great.
And he posts these pictures and these signatures. And it really is, if you look back in time, an exciting time in American history. So exciting that at one point Americans got bored at looking at the spacecrafts going off and taking men.
Right.
And until these horrible accidents happened, when they realized, hey, you know, these missions are dangerous, and these are amazing things.
Right.
And it's going to be the same thing now that you have a private company do it. I mean, this is absolutely amazing time we're living in. And so I think that auction will go good.
I agree. And I mean, when I saw this, it just brought me back to my, I think it was teenage years. Yeah. And I wrote a letter to NASA about, because there was something, and I don't know why I wrote this letter, but I wrote a letter requesting information about the space program and what they're doing and what in exploration. I received this big catalog of bit information from them with photographs and the printed material about the astronauts and all sorts of things, and about the solar system. I think I was doing a science project or something, and but I reached out and I did get something back. And of course I don't have any of that, but I do remember getting that in the mail and looking through and seeing the photographs and just all of the information that they had at the time. I was fascinated. And I agree with you. I think that from a certain age, because not only that, I also had some of those early space toys that were just fabulous. And I think that's what drives this whole, you know, this whole market of collectability. And why do people collect? It's a lot of the nostalgia. It reminds them of that time period of their life or what was going on, but also what was going on in the country and what was going on at that time. And yes, and I think to your point, Marshall, I think we made it look too easy, is that people then started getting bored with it.
Yeah, no.
But now it's totally revamped. And with Elon Musk, and it's a private company working in conjunction with NASA, I saw yesterday the interviews with the astronauts, and they have been quarantined even longer than people because of this virus, and they don't want to contaminate anything when they go up into the space station. But even the uniforms are very much more modern, and of course they have a Tesla vehicle that is going to drive them out to the platform. And it's pretty cool.
And in the future, how much is that Tesla vehicle going to go up for
yes.
auction for? Really think about this.
You are exactly right. And speaking of vehicles, I don't know if you watched this weekend the match. It was Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, and they were doing a golfing contest for charity. It was for a COVID charity, but it was held at the Medalist, which is right here in Hope Sound, right around the corner from us. And we were watching this, and the vehicle part was that, and I mentioned this as soon as we tuned in, I said, oh my gosh, look at those golf carts that they're in. They're really tricked out. And then the announcer comes on and says, Yes, those custom EasyGo golf carts have been customized to each individual player. And when they did a wider angle, you could see that Tiger Woods had his logo all over it, and you know, just all sorts of things. And so did the quarterbacks and Phil Mickelson. So they said that they were selling those for charity. And once the match was over, those were all going up for auction, and they were doing a bunch of different things. But it was interesting because in a very short amount of time, they raised, you know, over $20 million.
Well, here's the thing about that match. They did that match, Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods, last year as a big – and it flopped as a pay-per-view. It was just horrible. It wasn't fun to watch. This year, what they did is get the two teams playing against one another, and it was – everything was for charity, and it was people watched it. People donated.
Oh, yeah.
It was done right. Now, I don't remember who won the match, to be honest with you. And I think that's what they wanted to have happen. People to be interested in the match, but be more interested in the funds that were raised and what the funds were going for.
Yes, yes. Well, and I think it was Mickelson who won the first one, but they really didn't refer back to that first one, because I remember that. I didn't see that. And I think it was in Vegas, wasn't it? I think it was in Las Vegas.
At night, yeah.
Yeah, doing something. And I was like, okay, whatever. Well, here, this was now in this time period. This goes back to supply, demand, and there was a lot of demand for live sports, and this became that. Yeah. And that's why I think it also was perfect timing and the way that they put it all together, because the logistics that went into putting this whole thing together was great. They had the cart cams on all the carts, and they had all the players mic'd up, and you know, you could hear and the back and forth, and also Charles Barkley in the back making commentary. It was fun. It just was interesting. And the other great thing is watching Tom Brady when he started out. And both Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, you know, hitting into the scrub, and I'm like, oh my God, they play like me. Yay.
That's the great thing when you see that. And now with the Golf Channel and stuff, you can watch golf tournaments from the first round. Normally it was just the last round or last two rounds that were shown on TV, but now they show all the rounds. And in the first rounds, even the pros, when they're out, they make more mistakes in the first round and second round. And it's fun.
Right.
And it's fun to watch them do that. But then again, they get into their mistake and they get out of it right away.
Oh,
and you go, oh,
very easily.
Yeah. Oops. Well, yes. I guess that's the difference between making a mistake and no one. Yeah, I'm glad that was done right around the door from you. All right.
It was. And of course, then the rain was coming down, and then we'd look out and say, oh, yep, pouring down. Can't get the dogs out yet. And then we'd see that it was letting up there. And I'd say, oh, they're going to commercial. Let's get the dogs out while we can. There's a clearing. And you always have to look for those clearings in the storm to try and get the dogs out and do something.
Do something is right. Do anything out there.
anything. I was like, please don't look up at me. Just focus.
Even fake it. Make me feel better.
Right.
I have one dog, Georgia, and when I first got Georgia, she was a year old, and she was already about 45, 50 pounds. She wouldn't go out in the rain, and I would have to, that's when I used to bring the dogs to the station. I would have to carry her to the car in the rain, and oh my God! When a dog doesn't want to go out or do anything in the rain, they never grow out of it. They never grow out of it. So
no, and that's what we've been very good. Like even just with light rain or something, we'll take Sienna out as she's getting older, and she's a trooper. She'll go out. She's fine. She, you know, we don't want her to get too used to anything other than that, and try to get her out. But yesterday, oh my goodness, she looked up at me in this sheet of rain, and I was caught off guard too. Oh my gosh. I said, let's go inside, let's go. And she followed me right in. But she was good. She held up. She was fine. And then she was a little, again, freaked out, because when then all the power went out and Greg found our, you know, we have flashlights all over the house. And I have my watch on that has the light. So I immediately turned that on just to see, okay, come on, let's round everybody up and let's get in bed. And they were like, at first she was like, what is going on? And then she right to sleep, you know, they as long as they're near you and you're fine, they're fine too.
All right, my final words to you to give to Greg, what he's going to have to invest in, and it's expensive, it's about $900, is a big enough power supply, which is probably a 1,000-watt power supply, and have everything in that, so when a power surge comes or the power goes out, this gives you time. It'll last about an hour and a half. Gives you time to come out there and shut down and make sure everything's shut down properly. So
we have that for the modems, for the router, the modem, and I think that some of his equipment was plugged into that, but I don't think all of it was.
Yeah, he's going to need a more powerful one. It's going to cost about $800 bucks, but it's worth it because it saves any damage to the equipment. So if he needs any support from me to send him links on what type of get, just have him send me an email.
Okay. No, right. That sounds good.
All right, Tim, have a great week, and give our best to Greg, and we'll stay safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Speak to you next week. You have a wonderful week. Thanks,
right,
Marshall.
Take care. Tim Luke from, of course, Treasure Quest Appraiser Group, TQAG.com on the web.